The Triple M Footy.
Listen to the fans.
Fan Podcast.
That's right. It's the Triple M Fan Footy Podcast. We talk footy. You talk footy. We're back after another large weekend of a huge Easter weekend, actually, of AFL action and previewing yet another one. It never stops around here. My name's Rudy Edsel. I'm joined today by Tommy Beers. How are you, Beersy?
Good to be back, mate. I'm well. This weekend, with the Thursday to Monday, just felt like it went forever. We were talking about it before. How long ago did that Brisbane-Collingwood game feel? Like, it feels like an eternity ago, and it was actually just the first game of the last round.
That's right. And I suppose it makes sense given we do this podcast, like, we won't pretend. We do this podcast on a Wednesday, comes out on a Thursday. So by the time people are listening to this, it'll be a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it feels like a month ago. Really. But let's kick off, Beersy, with our legend of the week, as we are wont to do. I'm going to go up first, and I'm going to take young Cozzy Pickett from Melbourne, Kosiah. He is an absolute excitement machine. I know he's got the Pickett name. Obviously, I think he's a nephew.
Yeah, nephew of Byron, I think, yeah.
But he moves, the way he creates space by flicking his hips, he actually reminds me a little bit of Cyril Rioli.
Yeah, he's got all the tricks, doesn't he? He's so hard to lay a glove on. It wasn't this week against GWS, but there was a goal he kicked the week before. Who were they playing? Was it St Kilda in the Spud game, and he's just turned three blokes inside out, snapped one over his shoulder, didn't even look at the goals, and just sailed straight through. And you're like, oh my Lord, this guy's got it. So, he's as watchable as anyone in the comp at the moment.
He's a human highlights reel, and he's going to be so much fun. Like, Melbourne fans over the last couple of years, have gotten sort of used to a stodgy midfield, you know, like a real contested ball-winning midfield.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Petrarca with a bit of class every now and then, but Cozzy Pickett is going to go bang to the next level.
Let's hope Melbourne don't ruin him.
Well, yeah, indeed. No, I'm excited for him. And Melbourne, they look all right. Who's your legend of the week this week, Thomas?
Well, speaking of watchable, how good are the young Sydney Swans? Now, I know a legend of the week is supposed to be one person, but I'm going the collective. I'm going to go with the Sydney Swans side. And I took Buddy the week before, so maybe there's a trend of merging here. But them coming to the G and knocking off the Tigers is massive.
Huge.
Absolutely massive. On their own, like, no one beats Richmond at the G. And then a bunch of kids who, most of them were playing their first ever match at the G, have just walked out there and romped them on their own turf. So, the biggest service they did was put Richmond fans back in their box after a couple of flags and just went, bang, see you later. And they were at Richmond Station by three-quarter time, straight to the Mount View, straight to the corner. They were out of there. They had seen enough.
To be fair, so I went to the Sheffield Shield game that day, and it was so hot outside.
Yeah.
And I can understand the plan to get back inside.
You love to see the OG Richmond fans back at Punt Road before the end of the game. It just warms the soul.
They do this every year though, where they have a real stinker early in the season that you look back on when they've won the flag and go,
remember
that
happened?
They lost to Hawthorne.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be okay. How good the moment of that game for me, and I said this to Tommy Brown this morning on the news podcast I do with him for Triple M Footy. The moment of that game for me was Chad Warner shrugging the Jack Graham tackle like he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Striding a 50, bang,
slot
goal.
It. Yeah.
Like, thank you very much.
They're so watchable. I love them.
Yeah, they're so good. Speaking of watchable, it came up during the week, not during the Good Friday game, the North Melbourne Western Bulldogs game. Not a watchable game, but the thing that got everyone's attention was the size of Brent Harvey's arms, mate.
Yeah.
They are genuinely enormous.
Cannons.
Yeah, cannons. He's been obviously kept himself in pretty good nick. He plays North Heidelberg in the Northern Footy League. Hello to our friends out in the Diamond Valley. And it led me to think, to come to the question, like, everyone knows, you know, like, it's a common bit of content is, like, which players have blown up after they've quit.
Yeah, and there's heaps of them.
There's plenty. There's plenty.
It's the natural kind of evolution when you stop training and kind of taper off a bit.
Maintain the caloric intake. But I wanted to know, Beersy, which blokes look better or as good now as they did when they retired? Boomer, obviously.
Yeah. Well, he was always in immaculate nick, so he's hard to improve, but he looks like he's in tip top. So,
yeah.
And there's a few of these guys that we've kind of put together who are in that category who just have not trained off at all. They're just, they look like they could still run out on Saturday Arvo and kick five. So the outlier, and I'll bring him up, it has to be Plugger Lockett. He was an absolute truck when he finished up. He couldn't move off the tram lines. He was just an enormous unit. He was a bit banged up, and he looked like an absolute moral to have a proper blowout, and that would be the end of him. But he's in better nick than he was playing in. I reckon he'd be probably 15, 20 kilos lighter now than he was when he was finishing up at the Swans.
So do you know what happened there? What happened? Like, why he dropped all the weight?
Was it a charity thing or something?
No, after he finished playing, he took up competitive, like, motocross riding.
Oh, really?
So he dropped all that weight to ride bikes. to ride dirt bikes, basically.
Jeez, he would have gone through a couple of dirt bikes early.
Probably why I dropped all the weight.
Yeah.
And then, do you remember that photo of him when he's popped up at Swans training and he looks like...
Yeah, he had the training jumper on. Yeah.
He looks like half a plugger.
Yeah.
He's just a plug.
I remember that photo, yeah. No, he was one who definitely came to mind. You had a couple more.
I did have a couple more. The one that really first sprung to mind for me is Nick Riewoldt. He looks possibly better.
One of our very own.
And he was always a thoroughbred.
Yeah.
So when he turned up, and we had the day here where the boys come in and we asked him the questions for the social videos, the thing I was, he'd specimen. Come in and he just looked like ripped. And I couldn't be... Because he was
already the fittest bloke in the AFL when he played, and he looks like he's even better Nick now. I agree.
Yeah. It's got to be said as well, Brad Johnson, the man who rolled out with Boomer the other day, he also looks in playing condition.
Yeah.
He's another man who's a physique.
Bucks.
Oh, Bucks as well. Yeah. Bucks. He's not quite at the level. Remember that like 2007 photo of him where he looked like
when he'd done a couple jacked. Of he'd done a couple of hammies, and he just spent the entire time in the gym, and he looked like a man mountain. He was as wide as he was tall.
Yeah, so he's not quite that level, but he looks good. Like, yeah. He looks real good.
He's always in good news.
Another man who coaching has clearly agreed with in a way is a man who's glowed up over the last season or so, is Chris Scott.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as he grew the hair rebranded. And the beard.
He's just rebranded.
He's very zen now, isn't
he? Yeah.
Not on game day, obviously, because he'll never be zen
not
on game day.
Not post-game either.
Yeah, not post-game either. But when you get him in the interview he did on Footy Classified, he just, even when he's saying really controversial stuff, it's just very zen-like.
It's measured.
It's measured. It's very measured stuff.
Yeah.
And then a couple of guys that are still in and around the system as well. I'll leave you the last one, but the one I wanted to bring up was Chad Corns.
Oh.
Doesn't he look?
Yeah.
He looks in ridiculousness.
He's pretty happy with himself. I think it was JB said on our call last week that you will not see a happier bloke with themselves than Chad Corns. He just struts around.
That photo of him with Charlie Dixon.
He looked like he could have bashed Charlie, and Charlie's the biggest unit in the world.
Big wagon.
Yeah. And Rob Harvey as well. Jeez, he looks pristine.
He looks pristine. He looks exactly the same now as he did when he first came on the AFL scene. He's got the same haircut, the same everything.
Yeah.
He's the most consistent man in all of history, I reckon. Bob Harvey.
Nah, they're all good, I reckon. There's any others, getting in touch with us at Triple M Footy, and we'll shout you out next week.
Indeed. Something else I wanted to bring up, something that caught my eye over the weekend was GWS. They had that loss to Melbourne on, was it Sunday night?
Yeah.
Must have been.
Zipping three.
Zipping three they are.
Well, yeah.
And they were within a kick, to be fair to them, in the last quarter, and then Melbourne ran away. They've had a few massive injuries. But their post on Insta after the game was just a photo of Cozzy Pickett giving the big tongue-out
celebration. Yeah, that was bizarre, wasn't it?
It was. And I tweeted about it. I was like, I just don't understand. Like, the last thing I'd want to see as a fan of a club after a loss like that.
See the opposition just...
And see the bloke that's also
stirring you up.
Torn us to bits as well, like Cozzy did. But
they got form, don't they?
Well, it got brought to my attention, that they actually do it after they've done it after the other games they've lost this season as well. So they had the loss to Freo the week before, where they'd never really been in the game.
Nah.
And I think it was Andrew Brayshaw was the star of the GWS.
Yeah.
And the week before that, St Kilda as well. Wasn't as prominent that time. There was at least a GWS players in the photo, but weird social media use.
The only thing I can think of is that they're, in like the Instagram Explore feed, is it like a photo of St Kilda or Melbourne or whatever pops up and they're just chasing a bit of engagement. That's the only thing you can think of, because why on earth would you, why else would you do it?
Yeah.
I can't actually think of a reason why you'd post a photo of the opposition celebrating beating your mob after. Not, this isn't a one-off. It's three in a row.
Three straight.
Really sticking the boots in there.
They're 0-3 on social media as well.
Yeah. No, that's bizarre stuff.
It's a bit of a weird week for the GWS media guys, well, as pointed out by the Daisy and Heater show on Channel 7. It's been taken down now, but before the game they'd tweeted, it's been over 600 days since we've run out onto Manuka Oval. Eamon Buchanan breaks down where the game will be lost against the Demons. So that's pre-game, so... Yeah, not elite stuff.
What a word.
another thing that's come up. We mentioned this last week. We went early, sort of treated it as a joke. We were saying, can Tex win the Coleman? He's going to kick 100. He's gone and kicked another 6. He's 17 from 3. He's looking incredible.
It's happening.
It's no longer just the dream.
It's happening.
He's now the Coleman favourite, if you don't mind. Yeah. Gamble responsibly. How many do you reckon he has in him against North this week?
Yeah, well, North has come at a good time because this is where he can really put a space on the... He's already got a bit of a space on the leg, but this is going to make it real hard if he kicks another bag full. But honestly, we saw what Josh Bruce did to him last, and it's different because the Bulldog supply was elite and all that, but you got to put it... Like, if he's kicking 5 and 6 in... Like, they lost the Swans at the SCG. He still managed to kick 6. There's no reason why he can't do the same again this week.
Four of the ones against the Swans were from holding the ball.
Yeah, yeah.
As well.
Forward pressure, yeah. So, you know, fill your boots, Texan. I reckon everyone would jump behind the Tex bandwagon if he started...
Absolutely.
If he really put a buffer on him early.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. It's good for footy.
It is good for footy.
I reckon he's got 8 minimum. 8 minimum in.
8. All right. I'll hold you to that next week.
Big call. Speaking of Josh Bruce, though, I just wanted to ask, what was the performance that was maybe the least expected for you of the weekend? Was it Josh Bruce's 10? Josh Bruce probably won the last place I thought kicked 10. Harry Mackay booting, if you don't mind, 7-5.
7-5.
Or St Kilda just like completely dropping the ball.
I thought St Kilda were the biggest morals of the weekend going into it, and I could not see a way that the Bombers would win, let alone... hand them
Stomp
a 75-point romping.
Yeah.
They don't have a good heart look at themselves, St Kilda.
I didn't think St Kilda could be that bad.
No, I didn't think they had that in it. And I didn't think Essendon... Like, they made Essendon look like a good side. In the first couple of weeks, they were pretty ordinary. And the back end of last year, they were pretty ordinary as well. So it might be a false indicator for the Bombers. We'll find out more when they play Sydney on Thursday.
Tonight, as this gets dropped. So it's going to be a bigger ask, I think. Sydney away. we'll go with that. Actually, which underdog? Easy. We started this one last week. So as of tomorrow, the round starts. As you said, Sydney, Essendon, and then continues. Which underdog do you think will get up?
Well, what do I know? Because for those who listened last week, I made a case for the Dockers and it didn't quite go their way. And Big H had a big bit of a filler.
Didn't quite go their way to the tune of 8 goals.
So
I was laughed at by you for suggesting Hawthorn could possibly beat the Cats. And I tell you what, they prayed, but they all but did.
I'm going to tell you, I called you out at the time because I thought it was a bit of a cop out that you were just making excuses for the Cats before it had even happened.
So who's your underdog that you think might get up this week?
So this is exactly what I'm doing, and I'm going to say the Giants are a sneaky against the Pies. I reckon for whatever reason, seriously, the Pies just cannot beat the Giants. There's something about them, like doesn't matter how strong or weak they are, we always find a way to stink it up against them. Like there was that prelim final when Grundy had 28 disposals, 75 hitouts against a
Shane Mumford,
300-year-old Shane Mumford, and we still managed to lose. And they had Cogs out, Toby Green was out suspended. Yeah. Like every excuse in the world, we just can't beat them. So I just can't wrap my head around. Like we should be favourites. The Giants are going terribly, but I wouldn't be backing the Pies at $1.25 or whatever they are.
Yeah, I'm taking an easier one. I'm going to say Richmond are a real red-hot chance against Port.
They're a huge chance to bounce back.
The last game they played there at Adelaide Oval was that prelim last year. And I remember Toby Nankervis took about a bazillion
yards. Yeah, that's right,
behind the footy. The one before that, Port really, really smacked them. But
That fired them up.
Richmond, they don't lose two in a row too often. And if you've seen Dimmer on the Making Their Mark doco, he's a pretty inspiring bloke when he gets up and goes.
They don't lose two in a row often.
Indeed. So I reckon that'll be my one. I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. Remember to tune into Triple M Footy for all of the footy content over the week, starting tomorrow all the way through to Sunday. This has been the Triple M Footy Fan Podcast. It's by Rudy Edsel, joined by Tommy Beers.
Go the Pies.
See you next time.